This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Joke yesterday, Sal. They were an absolute joke. And the bottom line is this: loose atmospheres result in loose performances. And, you know, this is a conversation that's already old. I'm already tired of having it. I don't know how I can really inject anything new into it, but they've just got the wrong guy coaching this team. It's the bottom line. I mean, I know there's other layers to this. You know, the Cadens, the Rodgers, the Sala, the disrespect, the lack of trust. I mean, putting the ball on the turf, the stupid penalties. The New York Jets, to me, all right, the New York Jets are a team like, you know, like a really nice sports car, and you look at the gas tank and you got 13 miles to go. Like, they should be so much better than they are, and the person leading them is just not it.
Should they, though, be better than they are?
I think that they should be.
Well, based on what? Well, see, that's my problem, where I say it's all hype and no substance.
Uh-huh.
And you know how we felt about this. Like, we talked about it. I just couldn't buy into this team. Something felt off. And maybe it's because I haven't seen them ever have success. So Rodgers is the only one who's earned that respect because he's actually done it before. Winning a Super Bowl, winning the MVPs. The Jets as a whole, whether it's Douglas, the owner, Sala, the rest of the guys who maybe have talent on paper, they haven't earned anything. And yet we were all so quick to just say, well, look at the talent on paper. They're going to be a 12-11 win team, whatever it may be. Oh, the number 9 in the head, forget it. Playoff, Super Bowl, division. Based off of what? They haven't earned squat. And I want to say a lot of other things.
That was close.
But, yeah, exactly.
That was close.
So I guess my point is, are we sure that it's just a head coach and the Jets are actually better?
Well, I know that they're better than they played yesterday. Now, again, the bigger conversation, are they good enough to overcome Robert Saleh's deficiencies? My answer has always been no. What I've said this year is the Jets are going to win in spite of their head coach.
Right.
Now, I get where you're coming from. There's been this premature anointing, you know, by many, you know, Breece Hall's a superstar, Garrett Wilson's a superstar, this guy's a superstar.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys, tap the brakes here. I know that we live in a world of hyperbole, but I think we're a little too quick to identify the ceiling of these players so concretely. Listen, there's a lot of pieces here. There's a lot of good pieces here. There's a lot of talent here. I think if the Jets had a better head coach, I think they went with their eyes shut yesterday. Now, that doesn't mean that they win the Super Bowl, but I think they would have been more prepared against San Francisco. I think they would have been better out of the chute against Tennessee. The Patriots are just a joke, and things broke in their favor.
Yeah.
And they would have been more prepared and better equipped to play well yesterday. They just weren't ready to play. They had extra time off. Listen, now we can look at them and say, you know, why were they favored by 7, or are they really this good? The facts remain that they were.
Went up to 8 yesterday.
Is that what it really went off at?
I bet the Broncos.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be an idiot if you're laying 7-8 points with the Jets. I don't care who's coaching, who's playing quarterback. It changes everything about their season. It really does. Don't tell me it doesn't change anything. Now you're running a race that You should not be running this early in the season. The Jets should be 3-1. We should be talking about a win. We should be cruising into the Mets conversation, which we will.
Yeah,
don't worry,
not even be
we
a conversation. It shouldn't even be a conversation. Nope. You're exactly right.
Nope. It should be, all right, wow, you know, you disposed of this team that came across the country, the Broncos, that have a rookie quarterback that has a good defense, admittedly, but has done nothing on offense, and their head coach disrespected your OC last year. Go and lay it on them. Just bang them around from the opening. And by the way, don't tell me that it was raining, because during the game, I was watching my son's team. I recorded it.
Yeah, yeah.
Watching my son's team play 6 miles from MetLife, not a fumble. All right, so don't tell me about the weather, that the weather was that bad. The New York Jets, again, remained very good at one thing, underachieving. Robert Saleh stinks.
Yeah, and that's not news. Like, we've been talking about that. You know how I feel about Saleh.
It's not news, but it was amplified yesterday.
Again. It was amplified again. We've seen this story. How many bleeping false starts do you need to see, or stupid penalties do you need to see to realize that this team has no accountability?
It's a joke.
But it's been that way with the. Here's the biggest issue with the Jets, okay? And that's why I say they're all hype, no substance. There's no foundation. And the foundation comes from hiring the right people, whether it's the general manager who then hires the right head coach, and he builds a foundation. Like you're seeing the Giants try to build a foundation. Now, the talent has to come, the quarterback has to come, and then from there you start to elevate your levels of success.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets never built a foundation. They drafted some talented players, and then they went out and got the superstar quarterback. There is no foundation, and without that, there are holes everywhere. You watch them play, and you're thinking, how the hell is this team at home, 8-point favorite over the crappy Broncos, who, yeah, and the Broncos are better than some people thought. I actually thought they'd be okay because of Peyton and because of that defense, and you saw signs of that last year, but still, the Jets are 8-point favorites at home on a year where people are talking about the Jets being Super Bowl. How can they not go out there and at least play a solid game from start to finish? They're a mess. The reason is they don't have a foundation. And I do think it starts up top.
Well, it always does. And but, then, yeah, you're right. It starts up top and then it trickles down. There was one word that mattered yesterday, one word that was said, and it's accountability. That's all you need to know. I mean, Aaron Rodgers looked us in the eyes and said, I don't know what you want from me. I've been doing this for basically 20 years. If these clowns can't follow my cadence, that's their fault. I mean, so we got to mix everything up because these clowns don't understand when to actually snap the ball and when to react to the snap. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, just the look that what he projected post-game. Yeah, now, Rodgers didn't play very well either. I'm not making excuses for Rodgers.
You know what he said afterward? He took accountability.
He did.
Yeah, the weather sucked, but so did some of my throws.
That's exactly what he said. He said, I sucked and the weather sucked, but I got to be better, no doubt. And listen, Rodgers is trying to elevate a moribund, pathetic, lifeless, leaderless, rudderless franchise. Good luck.
Yeah, and let's listen to the quote, and then we're going to get back to the calls here, or get to the calls here, but I think it's important just to hear from what Rodgers said after the game, because it speaks to the inept attitudes of the Jets' entire organization and lack of accountability. Let's listen.
The cadence specifically, Robert said, that might be something you guys have to dial back a little bit. Is that something you think could potentially help the situation?
It's one way to do it. The other way is hold them accountable. I mean, we haven't had an issue. We've had one false start. Morgan had one false start, I believe, until this. So, you know, it's been a weapon. We use it every day in practice. We don't, you know, we rarely have a false start. And to have, I don't know, 5 today, it seemed like, 4 or 5. Yeah, that seems like an outlier. I don't know if we need to make mass changes based on, you know, kind of an outlier game.
He's been using his cadence as a weapon his entire career, and Saleh's response is, well, maybe we need to change the cadence? And you hear the quarterback say maybe they just need to be held accountable for a change, which is something they haven't been, period. Now, Saleh did, I guess, walk that back today.
Of course he did.
Naturally, miscommunication.
Oh, sure.
That's not what he meant by cadence.
Yay.
When have you used cadence anywhere but that?
That's so embarrassing, Sal. You know, like, think about some of the great weapons in sport, whether it's Pedro's changeup or Greg Maddux's precise, you know, accuracy or Phil Mickelson's flop shot. Aaron Rodgers' cadence is right up there.
Right.
And now, like, it's the Jets. If there's one organization that could get, you know, to get already, I mean, 4 weeks into the season, already get to a point where we have to question question one of the all-time assets from one of the all-time quarterbacks. It's a joke. It's an absolute, they weren't ready. I mean, the 15, you guys watched the game, 15 penalties, 13 of which were obviously, you know, taken. That game changes everything. Now they have to go to London. The Vikings look like they're real. I know what happened with the Bills last time. The Bills are going to be a handful. It changes the entire complexion of the Jets season.
It doesn't.
They weren't ready.
It doesn't mean the season is over.
I'm not saying that.
Right, but what it needs to do is get everybody back to reality here. Make them, whether you're a Jet fan or not, make them earn it. They need to show us. Show us. Go beat the Vikings. Go beat the Bills or whoever. Show us before we sit here and say, playoffs, division, Super Bowl, best case. Show us. And with that head coach, I don't believe that they will show us. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. John is in Manhattan. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. What's going on? How you doing? I called in after week one. I said any well-coached team is going to beat this Jets team. So just go through the schedule now. Highlight who has a good coaching staff. They're going to beat this team. I called in last week. I said that we throttled the Patriots, but the penalties are still a massive, glaring issue. We got to stop with Saleh. It's time that he gets fired because he can't lead the team. And it's just going to be more and more of all this disappointment. You could have had Zach Wilson as our quarterback yesterday. We probably lose 10-3 instead of 10-9, but this is absolutely ridiculous. We need to stop giving leeway to Saleh and just start calling for his head.
Right, John, what else do you want us to say? I mean, I don't know how much more blunt I can be. He's not good.
They're not going to fire him either in season. The time to do that.
Hold on a sec. You think if this continues, you don't think that he's going to get fired during the season?
Well, like, not at any point where it could save the season.
If they get smoked in London.
Yeah, no way.
You don't think that there's a conversation that really needs to be had about him losing his job?
No way.
I do that.
No, the time to have it was last year.
I understand that, but that doesn't mean you just keep pushing this thing forward and ignoring the reality of what might be going down.
Right, but then what's the answer?
I know he's not the answer. He's not the answer. I know that, Sal. I don't know what the answer
is.
I know he ain't it. That I know.
Understood. I'm with you. By the way, that looked like a Zach Wilson quarterback game yesterday. That reminded me of watching the Jets pre-Aaron Rodgers. That should never happen again. Ever. I don't care what the weather's like or who the opponent is. That should never happen.
See, this is what bothers me. So they're on the one-yard line, right? And you got a 250-pound horse who was ready to eat. Just let him out of the stable, stick it in his stomach, and let him just break somebody in half and get the touchdown. Nope, they got to get cute. Now, well, Robert Saleh's not in charge of the offense. I understand. If that's my team, I walk up to Hackett and I say, dude, I don't know what you're doing. Give him the football.
Right.
Stop dancing around. Like, that's what I mean. I understand he's a defensive coach, but to have no influence on the offense, it is a joke. And there is a little teeny tiny, tiny, tiny window where the Jets have a chance to win with Rodgers before they got to pay all these guys. And the window is now. And here we are entering October, and it's already shutting.
It's ineptitude of the highest levels, and it's because they don't have the people in place to hire the right people, to put the right people in place. Like, this, it's gone on and on and on. Think about it. Jim Harbaugh was available. If I were an owner, I would have done anything. And this is not just this offseason. I'm talking about years ago.
I know.
You do. When a guy like that is available, and this is for the Giants and the Jets, but obviously we're talking about the Jets right now, you do whatever you can to get that guy in your building and let him run your entire team.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, he'll build it up. That's what he does. And they didn't do it. And instead, they go hire these first-time guys and these guys who were over their heads in New York or whatever. And by the way, he's not the only one. They could have made moves. Even if you forget about 4 years ago, they could have made moves this year. Vrabel was another name that you brought up.
Love Vrabel.
Yeah, I mean,
love him.
Who knows what would happen with Belichick. Belichick's so smart, he wouldn't have come here because he knows he doesn't want to work for this owner and be in that organization. But anyway, point is, this is a big problem because they have not built a foundation. End of story.
That's true.
Nick is in Nanuet. What's up, Nick?
Nick, what's going on,
buddy? What's up, guys? How you guys doing today?
All right. What's up?
All right. So I got a couple of things that I want to say. So first of all, Breece Hall hasn't been that guy. Everyone thought he was. Not even close, in my opinion. I mean, yesterday solidified that. I mean, how do you carry the ball consistently, and you're getting crushed behind the line. And then this kid Allen comes in, and he's moving the ball. And you know, it's crazy. I'm watching the game, and I'm saying to myself, how are they not putting this kid in? We drafted him. He's 245 pounds. What's going on? So, here we go. Salah is the most pathetic little fraud I've ever seen in my life. He is lost. The fact I have to watch this clueless idiot every Sunday coach my favorite football team is terrible.
No, I would have to start calling him an idiot. Said, yeah, I mean, I got you. Thanks for the way. We're not going to start dropping idiots. And, you know, we're not going to make this personal. Yeah. He's just a horrendous head coach.
Hey, he seems like a great guy, a guy I'd like to hang out
no
with.
No doubt.
He also seems like a guy who maybe I could teach a thing or two about football, too. I mean, come on. And you said to yourself, I just want to have anything to do with the offense. That's a problem. You're the head coach. God, that game is directly on him. The slop that's out there from the get-go? Forget week one against the Niners. Look at that game yesterday. You're at home. You're 8-point favorites. Yep. Penalties galore. You have way more penalties than you do first downs or yards or whatever you want to, joke you want to throw out there. Like, that was as bad as it gets.
And by the way, don't ignore this either. Just because they were able to win and Will Levis was awful. You know, the way they looked against San Francisco, which was not prepared, to put it nicely, the way they started that Tennessee game, they were not ready for that game. Like, they got very lucky. We talked about this. I was there the next day. You know, I mean, if Will Levis doesn't play, hot potato, throw it on the turf, they're down 10-0, right, minimally, probably down 14-0, and they're probably 0-2. So they weren't even ready to react to the performance against San Francisco. See, here's the problem with the Jets. With Robert Saleh, with him, when they play poorly and you need to button things up, I mean, the next game, and come back and really dial it in and with focus, you don't trust him. And when they play well and they're coming off a win, they've got some momentum, you don't trust him to be buttoned up to keep that momentum going. So, I mean, this is what it's going to be. Little up, little down. Little up, little down. And this roster, while I get your point, maybe it's been anointed too quickly, this roster is talented. To be 2-2, it doesn't equate to the players they have.
And I do coaching. I feel bad for Jet fans because you and other Jet fans did not have the, like, I could separate myself from it and say Salah's going to hold you back. But you don't want to believe what you really know deep down.
But I agreed with you when I said. I said they will win in spite of Salah.
Well,
I've said
right, but how can you win really in spite of the head coach?
Well, I mean, against teams like the Broncos. Saying, I don't necessarily mean the Super Bowl.
Well, no, I know, but I think ultimately, point is, I think ultimately most Jeff fans know and knew that Robert Saleh was never going to be the guy. And you had to hope and just believe and ignore it because nothing you can do about it. He is your guy. You either want to get excited for the season or you don't.
Yeah.
He is your guy. And now you're seeing it play out to where this is why he's a problem. Pete is in Seaford. What's up, Pete?
Hey, Pete.
Guys, the best time to fire Saleh was the day after the Super Bowl last year. The second best time was when I called you guys 2 weeks ago after the Tennessee game, and I said, we have 2 weeks. We have a gimme game on Thursday against the Patriots. We have 2 weeks to bring Vrabel in, let him get some semblance of his own system in here, and get ready for the meat of this schedule. And you guys hung up on me and said, Pete, that was the silliest thing we've heard all day. And now here we are. This man is going to keep us from winning football games. The Minnesota has to travel all the way to London. The Jets elected not to take their bye after the London game. So there is no relief coming after this. The Vikings, if the season ended today, Sam Darnold is MVP, and it's not even particularly close. We're going to lose in London. We have Josh Allen going to bounce back from a disastrous game last night on Monday night, and all of a sudden this season is in a total tailspin. Total tailspin. We should have fired Saleh after the Tennessee game. And the last caller...
But Pete, you're not going to fire him after a win, Pete. I mean, come on. You're just not.
And not only you're that... Because, again, Pete, you're missing the point. Now, nobody's been harsher critic of Saleh than me, calling him multiple times the worst, literal worst head coach in the league. However, the time to fire him is not in season, especially when we're in week four. Even after yesterday, like, if you're not firing him after yesterday's loss, you're certainly not firing him after a win, his first win of the season in Tennessee. It makes no sense. you, Pete, wanted the same thing that I wanted. Fire him after last year. But once you make the decision to stick with him,
yep,
you're not firing him anytime soon.
It was very telling to me, and I said this when I got back from Tennessee. You know, when you watch it on TV, and you've been to a couple of games already this year, Sal, Jets and Giants, when you're in the stadium, you can see things differently. And where I was seated, I was at the 40, and I was maybe 20 rows behind the Jets bench. The lack, right in front of Vera Tucker's parents, the lack of interaction from Robert Saleh to his team was mind-blowing. And this was when they were playing poorly to start. I'm watching him, and I actually took a video of it, not to put him on blast, but whatever. I mean, it's on my account if you want to see it. They are getting shredded early on, playing so poorly. He's not talking to anybody. I mean, not even the remnants of coaching. Like the bare bones, whatever you have to do to fix something, I didn't see him do anything. And I'm like, my goodness gracious, not even a conversation. I mean, you go up and you undress somebody, nothing, by himself, walking around. He ain't it. He's not it. And I'm not going to scream, but I'm not going to yell forever, because this is going to resurface throughout the year. Robert Saleh ain't it. The Jets know it. They have to know it. And if they don't know it, then they're worse than I thought. They must know it, because he ain't it.
And you know who definitely knows it? Aaron Rodgers. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to more of your calls on the other side. We'll work in the Mets as well. Big day. I know there's a lot of negativity.
You nervous?
With the Jets. No,
wait,
I'm excited.
Excited.
I got what I wanted, baby.
Let's
I got
go,
what I
Mets
want.
Go.
These games to matter. Mets need to beat the Braves, and they are in. So we'll have plenty on that, including watching the game with you. We're going to watch the game. You know, game starts at 1:10. We'll be on the air until 2 o'clock. We're going to watch along here. BT and I'll have some conversation as we watch the Mets and Braves get underway a little bit later on. We get the Knicks' big trade to get into as well. So plenty to do. Just getting started on this Monday. BT and Sal on the Fans.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I mean, I just don't get it with this team. Why can't they do any? Even if they won yesterday, it's not like us saying, well, this is great and they're going to be good moving forward. It would have been ugly regardless, but even if Zerline does make that kick in the end, you're still going to rip them. But all right, at least they stabilize things, they get the win and move forward here.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason. Like, are you at the point now, and I was thinking of this yesterday, we started the year with what, 11, 12 wins?
Yeah, I think okay. I said 11 and 6.
Okay, and then you know, the way they look to the Niners maybe puts a little dent in that.
I didn't think they'd win that game, but they did not look good.
Where are we at now?
Yesterday was a dent, for sure. It's a game you have to have. I mean, I could go to 10 and 7.
Okay, so you stole, or you're coming down, but
yeah,
we're still,
certainly not going up.
We're still,
you know, and now if you tell me, you know, if they come back and they get wrecked by the Vikings... I also didn't think the Vikings would be incredibly, powerful this year.
Right.
And so far they are.
I mean,
so.
I wouldn't be shocked, though, if they... Like, here's the thing. With Rodgers, you always have a shot. Unfortunately, with Saleh, it's like, all right, well, what's going to...
Yeah.
Which one's going to weigh bigger on this particular day?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they were all over Rodgers yesterday. I mean, that offensive line did not look very good. And Brian Flores' Vikings defense is going to be an issue. So...
Dude, Vikings in London.
Yep.
Monday night Bills. Against the angry Bills.
Steelers.
Oh,
it's tough.
Pittsburgh.
Oh, I know. This is the gauntlet right here. You had to. Well, they didn't, so it doesn't matter. I can say a million times they had to win yesterday. They didn't win. And to me, it's not, you know, you want to feed into the narrative, same old Jets. Well, I don't even care about that. But all I know is the team that took the field yesterday did not look ready to play. And that is too often a characteristic of Robert Saleh's teams. Period.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Kyle is in West Orange, New Jersey. What's up, Kyle?
What's up, gentlemen? What's up? This is Kyle Bald and Sexy Crew. Listen, that was horrendous what I saw with the Jets yesterday. And I want them to win. But the problem is what everybody's saying. Saleh needs to hold men accountable. You got your star Hall of Fame quarterback basically saying it. I don't know. I guess we need to hold people accountable. And Saleh needs to do that. This was ridiculous. And also, Lazard, that play where they were like first down at the 11 and he does the little, and he gets thrown. That kind of thing is where the coaches, and they were saying that on INE, they were saying, look, coaches need to hold these men accountable. You can't let them just do whatever they want to do. This is how other teams like Patriots and Kansas City win and how the Jets are still behind. And Saleh cannot get happy when his team makes a turnover or a touchdown. And he's jumping on like he's won the game.
Happy's
and
an
Aaron's going, chill out. Yeah. He's right. He needs to chill. And listen, I think he would be, another place. Look, everybody's got to learn. And I'm not going to call it another defensive coordinator somewhere else. But the Jets got to get a coach in here because Aaron Rodgers is not going to let this happen again. He is not going to let this in. He's not going to take the fall. Yeah. And the schedule that you just read off, gentlemen, I don't see them in October. Maybe they can beat the Patriots.
I mean, here's the one thing. Well, if they don't beat the Patriots, forget about it.
He will get fired.
Yeah, I would think. To start playing the win-loss game now, it's a waste of time, even though we mess around before the season and we kind of have fun here and there. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to say is this, though, because the caller's main premise was he's got to start holding players accountable. I got news for you. It's too late.
Yeah.
This is why I use the analogy of parenting. When you allow your kids to do something during the formative years of their life, and then you try to put your foot down when they're 11 or 12 years old or 13, guess what? It's probably too late. And Robert Saleh's formative stage in terms of the culture, what's acceptable, what's not, that has elapsed. He can't go in there a different person. That's not how this works. That's not how psychology works with grown men. This isn't high school. So if he comes in today or when they meet and he's a different person, they're not going to buy it. It's not going to be authentic. It's too late.
And his way is proven not to
soft.
Work. It's not to work.
It's soft, dude.
Yeah, well, he loves his players.
I've never seen such an aggressive presentation with such softness behind
it. Such a beast of a dude.
Yeah.
Jacked.
It's the exact opposite of what I thought we got.
Yeah. The whole thing Cardin was doing when he first got hired, right? Our coach could kick your coach's ass.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure that was
sounds right, thing. Though. I would have put my money on Saleh at that point.
Yeah. Apparently not.
No, I mean, but boy,
he's too nice. I've been saying it forever.
Yeah.
He's too nice.
He really is. Even this goes, see, this is nitpicking now, but when things go awry, we nitpick, all right? But this is not a first guess. I said this last year. Go back to Hard Knocks. You remember this bothered me. I'm watching Hard Knocks like you're watching Hard Knocks, and Robert Saleh was reacting to some of Rodgers' passes like I would react if I was on the field watching the Jets practice. Oh, my God, what a throw. Oh, wow. Oh, whoa. Wow. I mean, you're an NFL coach, dude. You've never seen somebody spin the ball like that. Now, maybe not to that extent.
Right.
But what you project, it's just, and then when they get a turnover or they score, he's acting like we act.
Right, like there's a fine balance.
Gosh.
See, because we did talk about this while he shows no emotion. He just stands there and does nothing. And then he goes nuts like that, and now it's, he goes too nuts. But there is, so I wouldn't want to criticize him for showing emotion because I do like that. And other coaches have done the same thing. I do think, though, that he has missed the opportunity to strike the proper balance with it.
Yes, yeah, I agree. Now, if we had, and I love the emotion as well.
Yeah.
I wish some more of our, New York sporting figures, coaches, authority figures, have that emotion. Like, that was one of my knocks on Todd Bowles. Come on, give us a little more, Todd, the anti-Rex, I understood why they hired him.
I'd rather Bowles. Me, personally, I'm a Bowles/Dable type.
Yeah, listen, if Bowles was coaching this team, they'd be better. I'm with you on that. But you can't be, like so enthusiastic when things go well and then so detached when things go wrong. Like
that speaks to your balance.
You've got to be a little bit more in the middle. And it's just like when things go wrong, he just vanishes.
Chris is calling from Coney Island. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Chris.
I just wanted to talk about something that I don't think anyone's really talking about and has to do with coaching, but a different side of coaching, the personnel. The fact that, third and goal at the one, you're trying to throw to a defensive tackle. Then you got on the last drive of the game, you're trying to throw a 20-yard comeback route to an undrafted free agent who probably wouldn't be on the team if he didn't return that kick in week one last year because he hasn't done a thing.
He's done
and then
nothing.
you drafted a fourth-round wide receiver that you praised about all offseason. Oh, we could have traded up for him. Oh, we're so happy we got him. The guy can't get on the field.
Mm-hmm.
We need more receivers. Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, the chemistry hasn't been there.
Garrett
Wilson's been
terribly disappointing.
Yep.
I get it.
Sertain is awesome.
Nah.
I get it. But good teams find ways to get the ball to their guy.
Hey, Chris, I got a question for you. So we all know that the Giants have some issues, right? We know that the Giants have some issues. Thanks for the call there, Chris. This is a general, rhetorical point. Giants have issues. Giants are far from perfect. Do the Giants have a problem getting the ball to their number one receiver? Do they have an issue? No.
With a quarterback who is...
Yeah, who's not Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean... Right.
They find a way to get him 12, 13 targets a week.
Yeah, it's not just Surtain. Like, he is a great cornerback, yes.
For sure.
But that's not the reason why Garrett Wilson is struggling.
Figure it out.
They're a mess. The other thing is their run game is overrated. You're a good running team when you run the football when you have to. And the Jets can't do that. Whether it's short yardage situation, to close out a game, whatever. They have not proven that they could be a good running team. They've had some success, sure, and they have two good backs.
Yeah.
But they're not a good running football team. Otherwise, yesterday, you pound the rock. All right, it's wet, it's raining, whatever. Rodgers not having a great game. Run the football. Run the damn football. It's a one-score game the entire game. Use your weapons. They can't even do it. Breece Hall goes negative yards. Good guy.
I think that's a really good point because I think we confuse... The ability and the potential for Breece Hall to, rip off a 60-yard touchdown. And we've seen him do that a few times as a Jet, where he just takes it to the house. And we associate that with the Jets as a consistent run threat. No, not really. You need those 2 yards. It seems like they never get them.
Right.
They never get any momentum at the line of scrimmage.
A good running team runs the football when they have to run the football, not just breaks one every now and then. And the Jets have not proven to be that. That's another big part of the problem.
Obviously, the Yankees will get a chance to chill. 5 days off, 94 wins, top mark in the American League, home field advantage throughout. Just an incredible season from Judd. 322, 58, and 144. And Soto with 41 home runs. And now the pressure starts. But as that pressure starts for the Yankees, we can still kind of push them aside a little bit here because it's the Mets' turn.
I'm excited for the day.
Feeling good, buddy?
Yeah, I am. This is exactly what I wanted. I wanted this team to have to go into Atlanta and win at least one game. I think winning two would have been a little... Yeah, obviously winning two is more challenging than winning one, but I feel like the pressure of having to sweep the doubleheader, and it would have meant real disaster in Milwaukee for the Mets had they had to win both. So I think this is the perfect case scenario. They had to go back there. I wanted to play these two games. I wanted to have to beat the Braves to get in, and I'm feeling pretty good now. We'll see what happens. It's either going to be a great day of celebration or... it will go down as another epic collapse, and you could argue maybe the worst collapse of all. I know 2007 was awful.
Was that the up 7 with 17?
Yes. That was bad for different reasons. That was kind of like a shock that it actually happened. But think about all that had to happen along the way to get to that point where they collapsed. Right now, it's plain and simple. Just win one game. You're playing two games in Atlanta. You win one baseball game, you're in. You control your own. That's it. Don't worry about anything else. Win one baseball game. And I feel like... I'm not going to predict whether they will or won't, but I just feel good about it. I'm excited for this. And I do trust that Mendoza and Lindor will do enough to get them over the hump. Now, the real question is, are they going to win game one or game two? Because game one's the one that matters.
Yeah, because then it allows them to save Severino and push him to tomorrow. And same with the Braves. They can push back Sale. I mean, this is...
I want game one, man. BT. I don't even want game two. I want game
one. I understand that. Of course.
Game one.
And you feel good.
Well, yeah, I feel I'm good with where they're at. I even felt good over the weekend. Like, everybody was going nuts. I've talked about it for months. It was always going to come down to the Braves series. And now it's even more beneficial to them. Had this happened a week ago like it was supposed to, they would have had to win 2 out of 3 to get in. Now they just have to win 1 out of those 3. Obviously, they lost that first one, but people are going nuts. Oh, here we go again. They're going to collapse, losing to the Brewers. Those games really didn't mean anything.
You like who's taking the baseball in game one?
I mean, what are the options? Would I rather have Severino pitch? I'm fine with the way that they're doing it because I do think you have to at least have some. Think about it this way. And it almost doesn't even make sense to have Severino pitch game two at this point. Same thing with the Braves. Like, I get that it's technically an elimination game in game two. Not even technically. It will be. Whoever loses game one is facing an elimination game in game two.
Yes.
But the team who wins game one is not going to do anything to try to win the game in game two. They're going to roll out there and play and bleep happens, we know, but like, you think if the Mets win game one, Edwin Diaz is going to pitch game two?
I don't think so.
No, of course, well, of course not. Do you think Lindor is going to be playing if the Mets win game one? Of course not. Is Severino going to be? No, they're not going to. So the Braves then are going to have a great opportunity. So I'm not even so sure that if I'm the Mets, I would actually pitch Severino in game two. The problem is, God forbid you don't pitch him, and whoever you do throw out there gets lit up. You know,
I'm trying to put myself in your shoes and how I'd be feeling right now. 10:49, staring at this situation.
I can't wait, dude. I'm excited. This
Yeah, no, great. You should be. You should be. You should be. I mean,
like, not nervous at all.
Well, I don't know if I would feel that way.
Now,
yeah, if that time I'd be a little bit brazen there, but I respect it if that's how you feel.
I mean, if they can't,
you're not nervous at all?
No, not at all.
Come on,
I'm excited. Here's what you know. What's nuts?
What?
I'm just telling you how I feel inside.
Yeah.
I after game one against Atlanta, I felt it was the first time when they were in real trouble. Since then, I feel like they got a little bit of a break with the weather and getting out of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And the way things broke for them with Arizona losing. Like, I don't feel, even with losing to Milwaukee, I just don't feel pessimism. I feel like the Mets are going to figure out a way to win one of these games and get in.
And I get that. I mean, because they've given you that ammunition, that mental fuel. I mean, they were, what, 22-33? 22-33. And think about the discussions we had about this team. And, you know, I said some things that in real time, I certainly believe. But like right now, they look crazy. And I've owned them. I mean, it's been one of the most improbable resurrections of any New York sports team in a long time. So, but you got to finish the race.
Yeah, well, they got to get it done.
Got to finish the race. Otherwise, it's still the Mets.
Think about how sweet getting to the postseason will be, knowing that you did it by beating the Braves in Atlanta.
Or how painful it's going to feel if you don't.
Well, if they
and that's the risk that you take.
That's why I said if they got swept today, I think it would be even worse than 2007.
I could feel that. I got you.
They got to get the job done today. Clem is in Rockland. What's up, Clem?
Yeah, I hope you guys had a great weekend. Yo, BT, I don't know if you heard, man, about 15 minutes before your show started, Boomer and Gio were playing that sperm bank donor thing and using you as sound bites.
I did not hear that.
Dude, you got to go to Odyssey, the free Odyssey app, and just listen because it was the funniest thing. I mean, you got all these great sound bites, obviously, man. And the way I don't know who segued them in there, man. I was literally dying, man, hurting, laughing so hard.
Was it really that funny? I did not hear it.
I didn't hear it either, but now I want to. Okay, free Odyssey app.
You got to listen to it.
Oh, my God.
All right, listen. Shostradamus, I need you to look deep into the crystal balls and tell me today will not be one of the greatest days in Mets history when we get that dragon off our back and slay the Braves finally once and for all into the playoffs. Mendy, all the way. You got to say King Cohen. You got to say it.
Not yet, Clement. Thank you for the call, and I love the energy. I feel good about today. Which is going to make it even worse. Like, when you go into a situation bracing yourself or expecting pain or expecting the worst, it at least softens the blow. Right now, I am going in with the expectation that there's no way today ends with the Mets losing both these games, which means if it did happen that way, it would be devastating. I will hold the King Cohen moniker back until the offseason. We'll see how that plays out.
There's checkpoints that need to be
hit. Getting to the postseason is a big one. And they said postseason. I'll give them all the credit in the world. I'm not going to go nuts with the King Cohen stuff, although you're tempting me, Clem. I do appreciate that. But, BT, I'm telling you how I feel. It's not about predictions
I
or
know
all that.
I
this particular case.
You feeling good?
I just feel unusually confident.
What if it was one game and you had to win it?
I think probably a different story.
I would think you'd feel a little different.
Well, you got to be realistic about it. I'm not saying that I wouldn't believe that they would win it, but it would be, oh boy, I'm nervous about this one. The way that it's set up,
oh man,
it would be a disaster. Like, the shocking thing today would be for a team to sweep. right? The Braves or the Mets.
Well, based on the circumstances and that second game would you would think would result in terms of just a lineup based on the team that wins the first game. The odds favor a split.
Yes. Now, I want the first game. I don't want to back in and just, like, to me it would be, great, all right, you got in. And you'd be happy that you get in, but it wouldn't really be beating the Braves. Game one's the game where they want to beat you, and game one is the game where you need to beat them to set the postseason up right. You get in by winning a game two where they're not really trying, and you're using your best bullets in that game. Mm-hmm. That would bother me. I want game one specifically.
Yeah, I would like you to paint the picture for me for the Mets fan out there. So, Even as the Jets have been, you know, so problematic in my sporting life, I'm one of the few Jet fans, you know, I don't know why I do this, I just do this, where it's the delusional side. I don't tap into the, oh, woe is me. You know that's not
right,
my style.
Right.
That's not just a shtick on air. Like, I think even when things are, you know, going awry, like, all right, the Jets will find a way to get it done. I think like a winner. I don't think like a loser. All right. Do you think most Mets fans right now are thinking like winners or they're thinking like losers?
I think most Mets fans are confident and comfortable in the spot that they're at. Again, if it were one game, I think it'd be a different story. I think most Mets fans today, while acknowledging that certainly things can go wrong, and I feel like there was overwhelming negativity over the weekend with the way that things were going the first two games in Milwaukee, which also didn't make any sense to me. They still had full control of what was going on. But I would bet that most fans today, after the win yesterday, knowing they just need one today, Lindor back in there healthy, I think the Mets fans believe in this team.
It feels that way to me, too.
Yeah, just it the does. Feeling
it definitely
it.
Feels like there's more positivity than the negative energy. Oh, we're going to implode. I feel like the Mets fans confident, secure, measured. I think the Mets fans ready.
Right. What could go wrong? BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. We'll give our thoughts on that massive Knicks trade that happened late Friday night. We got so much to get to today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is great. Maybe one of the great days in New York sports talk history. We got the Jets with an awful loss. We'll continue with them. Mets, obviously, historic day with a doubleheader, needing one to get into the postseason. And Carl Anthony Towns is a New York Knick. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Even with all the baseball postseason going on, the Jets have still found a way to make a lot of news this week. From Aaron Rodgers responding to your quotes about the relationship between him and the head coach, to Rob Saleh having to respond to those, to Rob Saleh talking about the cadence thing not being an issue when he made it an issue, and of course everything with Devontae Adams. that at this point is going to be quiet throughout the London game. He's not going to play for the Raiders this week against the Broncos. But when they get home, regardless of win or loss, that seems like the perfect time for a trade to go down. The Jets aren't the only team, but they're certainly the favorite because that's where Davante Adams wants to be.
Well, again, you have to take into account a number of different things. And one of these nuance aspects of this would be his contract. I don't think anybody that's going to trade for him is going to be accepting of what the way the contract is written right now. They're probably going to want to do some redo or redeal or some more guaranteed money and extend the contract to make sure that it is at least for at least 3 years, I would think. I mean, was he 31, 32 years old? He's still a very, very good player and still has a lot left in the tank. And the real question is how much longer does he want to play? I'm sure every player wants to play to as long as they can and make as much money as they can. Be interesting to say, okay, we're going to trade you, but now you have to come up with an agreement to the team that we're trading you to make sure that you're happy with your contract and the team can fit you under their salary cap. And, you know, if the Jets are going to be acquiring Davante Adams, you know, they have to give him a contract. But if things blow up here, this isn't going to be the group that's going to be running this thing.
Touched on it yesterday, but Adams himself spoke out on possibly being traded.
He's not playing another snap for the Raiders. So, listen, the Jets are in the absolute worst spot right now where they must try to save their season. Sal, they're going out to London right now, and they're in complete disarray. Their offense looks awful. For some reason, Garrett Wilson and Rodgers can't even get remotely on the same. They're not even, forget about being the same page. They're not even the same book. And, you know, to me, think about this, Sal. Think about what we saw over the summer, and we kind of pushed it aside, like, because we didn't want to make a big deal out of it. Remember the discussions with Rodgers and Wilson, and they were very animated, and like, you see Rodgers pointing here and Wilson pointing there, and it just didn't seem, again, we didn't make a big deal out of it, but I didn't forget about that. And now you watch the games, and you see a completely disjointed offense. So they're going to London against a team right now that is going to probably tie them up in knots defensively, because what Flores is doing defensively is amazing right now. The Jets' pass protection's a mess. Rodgers looks like he's 50. Wilson looks like he's a C-level receiver. And Breece Hall looks like he's awful. Now that doesn't mean, Sal, that they can't come out and that they can't completely change things and play well and win a game this week. And they very well might, although I don't expect them to. But what they have to do is preemptively save the season, because the coach is going to get whacked, the GM's going to get whacked, the quarterback's going to get further frustrated, and I don't know how they can't give up whatever it takes to get Davante Adams. Davante Adams wants out. He's done with the Raiders. Antonio Pierce liked an instant. Did you see this? Antonio Pierce liked a social media, whatever, post where he basically said that he's played his last snap for the Raiders. So if the receiver wants out and the organization is ready to move him, how can the Jets not make a move and get this guy?
Yeah, and I would expect them to do so. I mean, they have the salary cap space to fit it in, I assume. I mean, that's what I was reading yesterday, and it's not going to cost a lot. The Raiders, I think the starting point was a second-round pick plus more, so you would assume that maybe it's going to be a little less than that if that's the starting point, so you would part with that. I just don't think it's going to make him. Like, I think the Jets are what they are regardless, and I get the appeal of wanting to take a shot at going to get Adams. We talked about this yesterday. I don't think it's going to fix them. Same thing with the Cowboys or other teams. We saw the Bills get better by trading Stephon Diggs, where nobody thought that was going to be the case. Oh, this fantasy world that we live in, oh, they lose Diggs. How are they going to fix that? Well, look, they've become a better football team without Diggs. The Jets' problems, to me, while they have not been great at wide receiver, aren't fixable by just bringing in Davante Adams.
And by the way, you might be right, but to me, that doesn't mean that you can't throw it up in the air and try to make a connection here. You have to. Like, so, Sal, what's the other option? So they don't get Davante Adams. They run the risk of maybe Rodgers and Garrett Wilson not finding that cohesion that's necessary to elevate the offense, and they win, what, 7-8 games?
Right.
I mean, these next three games, this is the season, dude. This is it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be. And now their schedule does soften up a little bit. Here's the problem.
You mean on the back end?
Yeah, here's the. Well, right, after these, you know, next three games. After Robert Saleh's the head coach. So what's changing in that regard? You're just hoping against hope. And I get it, which is why I'm saying, like, I'm not saying don't make the move. What I'm saying is make the move or not, it's still not going to matter ultimately. What will matter is, will they be disciplined up front? Meaning, stop with the stupid penalties. Will they be disciplined in general? Stop with the penalties. I have no reason to believe that that's going to be the case. Can they run the football as a team when they need to? I have no reason to believe that that's going to be the case. Can the defense actually stop the run? I have at least a little reason to believe more in the defense than the other stuff, but those are the more important things. The head coach, the offensive line, running the football, and then how good this defense can be. I think they've got a shot to fix some of it. Yeah. I don't think they can fix all of it, and I don't think Davante Adams fixes any of it.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that Davante Adams plays again for the Raiders?
It doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. I do think he'll get traded.
Okay, okay.
Who the hell knows, but I do think he'll get traded.
Do you think the Jets, whether or not it's going to solve stuff, do you think the Jets make a big swing?
I think logic is pointing to that. Now, I was reading some of the other teams. The only other team I saw
Steelers,
was Dallas.
Right? I saw Steelers, too.
Okay, there was like eight teams on a list. Who else? Did you see anybody else?
I don't know what list you saw. I just saw the Jets and Steelers and Dallas.
I'm trying to find it here on social media, but there was
I mean, the guy's amazing, so yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if there's eight teams.
Yeah, I mean, all right, so
the Bills,
Jets,
are the Bills mixed in there, maybe?
Well, of those teams, give me the team who is more desperate, to your point.
I think the Jets are the most desperate team in the NFL. Yeah. When you look at the trio, the three factors, the head coach, the general manager, the quarterback's age, and then the fourth, which is the overriding factor, the overall instability of the franchise and the pressure for this team to do something. I mean, let's face it, Sal, if the Steelers have a lackluster year, I'm not saying Steelers fans are going to be thrilled, but Tomlin's not going to get fired. He got the extension. He's the man up there. He's got championships. You know, well, McCarthy will get fired, but Dak's got his contract. I mean, so like in terms of pressure, I think pressure is sometimes like misused. Like, because if there's no adverse reaction to something happening, then there's really no pressure. If the Jets don't win, everybody's gone. If the Steelers don't win, nobody's gone. Well, if some of those other teams don't win, nobody's gone. The Jets have more pressure than anybody.
All right, well, what do you think is a realistic package at this point?
You know, that's above, like, I'm not even,
well,
I
roughly,
don't know.
Just,
I
mean, me neither.
A second round pick.
Okay, well, based off of the report that
I
read yesterday.
Redick?
Yeah, right.
Can you do a Redick for Davante Adams swap? I don't even know if you can. Can you? Can you? Is it legal?
I would doubt that the Raiders are going to do that myself. I don't even know what the ramifications would be with that. But
yeah.
Let's say, based off of something that I read yesterday, the starting point was a number two. I think Connor Hughes might have had that, or at least he retweeted something like that. Let's just say that it's a second round pick, third round pick, whatever, because you're going to have to give up a little bit more.
Yep.
That's not really going to crush the Jets moving forward. So they're not really giving up. Like, I don't think there's any major risk in this move.
Okay.
That's different than thinking, is the move going to work? I don't think that Davante Adams coming here all of a sudden, Super Bowl. I'm not saying you're saying this.
I got you.
Super Bowl. Because I do think there are a lot of fans out there. Hey, go get Davante Adams. Super Bowl. Rodgers. Like, that to me is a different argument than, okay, well, what's the risk? There really is no risk.
The only risk is when the new GM comes in, the cupboards are empty. And you know what? If I'm Joe Douglas, I can't worry about that right now.
Agreed.
That's not my concern.
And that's why I asked, like, what do you think it's going to take? Because how bad could it be? All right, giving up two...
A second and a third, a second and a fourth. Like, you got to do it, Sal.
Yeah,
you got to.
I don't think that that's that bad. So I don't think that there's risk here.
Yep.
If somebody, now, the question I would ask you is, how annoyed at Joe Douglas and the Jets would you be if he does get dealt, but it's not here?
I'm going to flip out. I think that that's unacceptable. They have to get him.
Yeah.
They have to.
I mean, you think they will ultimately? It feels like that's the case.
I think that they're going to get him. Yeah. I mean, one thing that Joe does well is trade. He's pretty good with trades.
You see this Garrett Wilson stuff yesterday too, which could lead, you know, Garrett Wilson.
He's not too happy. I mean, these are all.
I don't think that was as big a deal as everybody's making it myself, but.
I'm kind of with you, like the way the question was posed.
I still don't know what the question was. I mean, I think it's actually still going on right now.
He kind of walked into it a little bit there, and I think that Garrett did kind of retweet some stuff and try to contextualize and maybe disarm some of the venom out there. But the bottom line is this. They lost a horrific game this past week. They're playing maybe the best team in the NFC this weekend, and they're playing a long distance from MetLife. And if they lose, they're 2-3, and their quarterback looks old and unhappy. That's something I've got to react to.
Here's the way that I
react to that.
I'm going to stay the same and say that the Jets' season depends on what their defense is. If their defense is as big, bad, and as dominant as they say it is, then I think they'll be fine, with or without Devontae Adams. And I think last week was an aberration for the offense. Like, it was bad, don't get me wrong, but the weather definitely had a part in that. Denver's defense, not bad. It was unacceptably bad, but I think it's just one game. The defense, can the defense go out there and stuff Sam Darnold and shut down the Vikings? And then from there, once the defense establishes some consistency,
yeah,
stopping the run and looking dominant, I think the offense will be, even in that game, you saw some drives from Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. They're just like the drive at the end of the first half, like, with him there, they could do special things, even without Devontae Adams. So I think their season is going to come down to how their defense performs ultimately.
Well, you know, here's what's really most disconcerting. It's October 2nd, right? October 2nd, how do you feel good about the Jets? Like, how do you have a good feeling about the Jets right now? There's so many questions. That doesn't mean that there's no answers, but right now it seems like there's more questions than answers. And if I could get an answer like Adams in here, I don't care what it takes. I got to make the move.
BT and Sal on the Fan will come back. We'll have Howie Rose to talk about the Mets game one from last night and look ahead to see what's in store for game two. We'll do that when we come back.
I went and found this Garrett Wilson thing with Bart Scott yesterday on ESPN Radio. So I'm going to play you the question now.
Yeah, it's very important to play the question.
Important to know that there's 34 seconds of a question that precedes this. So
this is a CeeLo question?
This question is probably almost a minute long.
So, yeah, right. So there.
Oh, so it's a CeeLo question.
I didn't play because his answer's really long.
No, I know.
Or could have been a question like from one of the moderators last night in the vice presidential debate,
I suppose. Well, also, and Garrett Wilson put himself out, posted himself that he goes, I didn't just comment that. This was my answer to a long, drawn-out question.
He was.
So, yeah.
Now, the question I give you is still 17 seconds. There was another 34 on top of it. So, here you go.
Are you guys struggling with your identity and trying to find it? Because it feels like you guys try a lot of different stuff. You guys have a lot of good players, but sometimes when you have a lot of good players, it makes things discombobulated.
I don't think we do a lot of different stuff, you know, to be honest. You know, when I watch football on Sundays, I see a lot of teams run, mix it up and stuff like that. I don't feel like we do that. So I think we know our identity is just about going out and executing it, or figuring out whether or not it's going to work. I truly think that we are not trying. I don't think we're trying a lot of different things. I know personally, I haven't. You know, my route tree hasn't been what it's been on the last 2 years as far as the stuff I've been running and stuff. So, it's just about figuring out whether or not it's the right identity and if it's going to win games this year. You know, if it's going to do what we need it to do, give the defense the run support they need to be the best defense in the league.
All right. Yeah, well, you know, he's questioning the offensive coordinator 100%. 100%.
Yeah, see, I disagree with that.
What I hear is we don't do a lot of stuff. We do our stuff, but we don't do a lot of stuff. I watch a lot of football on Sunday. I don't see us doing that.
Yeah, and I can see how you hear it that way. The way I hear it is that Bart Scott saying that, are you struggling to find your identity because your guys are doing a lot of different things? And he's saying, no, we're not doing a lot of different things. We have an identity.
We just have to execute better.
Just remember, this is also a team that was trying to hire somebody that was going to be the Artie party is who it was going to be, to sit on top of Nathaniel Hackett to become a little bit more Arthur Smith is who it is.
Listen, I think
to me, it sounds like he's frustrated with the offense. Look, they had two good games where I thought they got better, and then they took a major step back this game, and the frustration on the field, ball dingers, breakdowns, all the different things that come out of this game against the Broncos. And then this comment here lead me to believe that, you know, it's like, what are we doing? How come all these other guys are running wide open? What are all these other teams doing offensively that we're not doing? And it sounds to me like he is questioning as to whether or not the offense is creative enough to get people open and to get him more involved.
Well, I mean, he also says in the answer, I think we have the right identity.
Mm-hmm.
Says that in the answer.
But he also says that he watched football on Sundays and we don't do a lot of those things.
Right, in response to in response to Bart Scott saying, I see you guys doing a lot of different things. And he's saying, we're not doing a lot of different things. We already have our identity. You know, so, and I see other teams doing a lot of other different things, but this is what we're doing. We just got to execute it, and we have the identity. So, no. I don't know. But Garrett Wilson, he wouldn't have put out that video himself if what he was trying to say was interpreted the right way by Rich Cimini. He said, because he saw all that stuff in text. It looks terrible in text. And he's like, no, I didn't just say that. You need to have the context of the question here. If he wanted to put out there that he was pissed off by the offense and Nathaniel Hackett's a boob and whatever else, he could have very easily just let that stuff sit there. He didn't.
Well, I mean, like what I hear in that answer, he's questioning the offense and the creativity. That's what I hear in that answer.
Okay. Well, we disagree on
maybe,
it.
Maybe he's not mean-spirited about it. Maybe he's not really pointing it at anybody, but that I hear a frustrated, hey, I watch a lot of football on Sunday. We don't do a lot of stuff. I'm running a different route tree.
He wasn't running a different route tree.
No,
he said he was running the same route tree as he did the last couple of years.
He said he was running a different route tree from the last
couple of
years.
I thought at the end he was like, I've been doing this. It's been the same route tree. I could have sworn.
You know, I truly think that we are not trying. I don't think we're trying a lot of different things. I know personally, I haven't, you know, my route tree hasn't been what it's been on the last 2 years. As far as
my route tree hasn't been what it has been in the last 2 years. Yeah, but that's what I'm telling you. Does that change your mind?
No.
See, I hear both, honestly.
I hear a frustrated wide receiver. That's what I hear. And I hear, like, you know, and then when you go back to all these breakdowns and everything, because I saw all those, and you see the frustration on, you know, the body language, I guess, which we're not allowed to discuss for whatever reason. But yeah, the body language tells me we're frustrated.
Whatever happens.
Earlier today, Robert Saleh had his Wednesday press conference, and he was asked about Cadence Gate. For those that forgot, on Sunday, after the Jets' horrific, miserable loss to the Denver Broncos, one of the issues that came up was all the penalties the Jets faced. And Robert Saleh talked about the cadence issue with Aaron Rodgers, that maybe they would have to make some changes. Mm-hmm. Aaron was then brought that answer that Robert Saleh had about making changes, and Aaron responded with, well, or we can hold guys responsible. So it seemed as if there was a little bit of a rift based on the contradictory answers from the head coach and the quarterback. Robert Saleh today was asked, hey, have you guys solved the cadence issue?
Did you and Aaron talk over the cadence thing? And what is your relationship with Aaron now?
There is no cadence issue. There never was a cadence issue. It was created.
What is your relationship with Aaron now? How would you describe it?
Aaron and I are fantastic. Love the guy.
Very few words, but so many things to just swallow from that. Number one, that last part sounds like someone who actually hates the person that they're talking
about.
I love the guy.
I think it's more he hates being asked that question.
That's fair. Maybe that's the issue.
Because the optics are that they don't have a solid relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, stop asking me this stupid question, because it doesn't matter. Even if he does hate me and I hate him, he's still my quarterback, and he better be good.
That would be the best answer.
Right? That's all he's got to say.
It's such a true answer, right? Right? You don't have to love him.
Like, who cares?
Yeah.
I think Rodgers. Why does it matter? Right? You're going to sit here and say, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't like his quarterback, therefore they have no chance to be successful. Like, what? I mean, I don't think Aaron Rodgers liked his previous head coaches, and Mike McCarthy, to be perfectly specific. And you know what? He still did pretty well. Didn't win a Super Bowl, but that's probably not because of his relationship with Mike McCarthy. It's probably because their defense sucked. So I think it's like we start asking these questions that are so irrelevant to what happens on a football field. And I can see why you can get frustrated by it.
Yeah, it's irrelevant to what happens on the football field, but people love to hear it.
Of course, because we live in a social media reality TV world. Like, we care about the drama more than we care about the actualities of what's going on to win a game.
The only thing I care about is, can they form a working relationship that works?
Mm.
Right? I'll compare it to Mike and the Mad Dog.
But do they need to?
No, they don't. Like, Mike and Chris weren't always friends, but they had success. Same thing with Robert and Aaron, right?
But do they actually need to?
Do they need to have what?
Like a working relationship. Because what exactly is Robert Saleh telling Aaron Rodgers?
It's a great question. Is he telling him anything?
I mean, other than
good luck.
But does that work?
A head coach that and a quarterback who never have to talk to each other because they're so separated?
Let's talk about from an X's and O's standpoint.
Right.
Like, what is he telling him?
Nothing.
Exactly.
The only thing he knows about offense is how to stop it because he's a very good defensive coordinator.
Right. So why does this relationship matter? I know what one matters is one with Nate Hackett, and they love each other.
They definitely
do. And so, why is this important other than for a story?
Yeah.
So I hear what he's saying, like, oh, it was created. The drama around it was created. The actual cadence issue was not created. There was a real disconnect between Robert Saleh's answer and what Aaron Rodgers said. Specifically, he said, he said, hold people accountable. It wasn't, you know, about, you know, the loudness or the discipline. It's like, just hold these guys accountable.
Right.
And that's how Aaron Rodgers wants it to be handled. And that's, by the way, how it will be handled. Now, the other question, and I don't know if we have the actual sound, but someone asked about, oh, are you punishing guys? And Robert Saleh's answer was right. Like, you want these guys to do push-ups? Like what are you talking about?
Yeah, so
how are you punishing a grown man whose job that he's paid to do isn't doing it well? You either bench him or you just trust him to get it right.
I understand that making a guy do push-ups or sit-ups or run gassers or whatever you want to say isn't going to work with a grown man in the NFL. Right. I'm not going to argue that. But what I will say to Robert Saleh is that he has been the head coach of this football team for multiple years.
Yeah.
And this problem continues to exist.
Hmm.
So I wish I could offer a solution. I like to be a solution guy, Tiki. I'd be pretending if I could offer a solution.
Right.
How the hell could I offer one? All I know, and I guess this is my retort to Robert Saleh sarcastically saying, what do you want me to do? Make him do gassers or push-ups or whatever was actually said? Well, something's got to give, bro.
Well, I mean,
something's got to change.
It's got to be a point of emphasis. That's really what it comes
down
to.
Yeah, it's got to stop.
Right.
The Jets can't kick themselves in their own you-know-whats every week. And it's been going on for a long time. The cadence thing is not a made-up thing. That's the other thing. And let's expose that. Let's go back to Sunday.
Yeah.
Let's start with Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh is asked about, hey, a lot of pre-snap penalties. This is what Robert Saleh said about this.
We got to figure it out. Whether or not we're good enough to handle all the, or ready to handle all the cadence. Cadence had not been an issue. All camp felt like our operation had been operating pretty good. Today it took a major step back.
So that's what Robert said. And then Aaron, you know, naturally the media is going to take what Coach said and said, hey, Aaron, what do you think about what Coach said?
It's been a weapon. We use it every day in practice. We don't, you know, we rarely have a false start. And to have, I don't know, five today, it seemed like, four or five. Yeah, it seems like an outlier. I don't know if we need to make mass changes based on, you know, kind of an outlier game.
It is a contradiction.
I think he's right.
I think he's right. And it's also, wait, who, Robert?
No, I think Aaron's right.
Yeah, he is right.
It's an outlier game. It's not like this hasn't happened. Didn't happen in week three or two or one.
But then how can Robert Saleh say it was basically made up by the media or whomever? It wasn't. There was a contradiction between the head coach and the quarterback.
I think he's talking about the drama. I think he's talking about he's speaking, even though I don't know if that was directly asked, he's speaking to the disconnect between him and Aaron Rodgers.
Mm.
That's what he's talking about. Because that was the follow-up question. I mean, that was the addendum question.
Well, but the question was, have you guys resolved the cadence issue? And he said, there is no issue. No. You guys made it up.
Have you resolved the cadence issue?
Right.
And how is your relationship? There's two questions, which you never should do, by the way. The cadence issue, and how is your relationship?
No, there? It was a follow-up. Take a listen to it one more time. Think about how this was laid out. This was earlier today at Robert Saleh's press conference when he's asked about this, and obviously this occurred on Sunday, but a few days have gone by, and the question was posed about the cadence.
You and Aaron talk over the cadence thing, and what is your relationship
now?
Right, he's answering the second question.
You're right.
That's the reporter's bad.
Yeah.
He's answering the second question.
You got to separate them.
Well, what do you want the answer to? Do you want, what's wrong with the cadence? Stop, wait for an answer. Or, what's your relationship with Aaron Rodgers?
Love the guy.
Because right now, the perception is that there's this disconnect between Aaron Rodgers and his head coach, Robert Saleh. And so if you do a two-part question, Robert's going to answer the one that's most emotional to him. It's what we do. We answer the emotional, our emotional response comes before logic. I mean, for whatever reason, we are, as humans, we go that way. And so As soon as he's someone asks him about his relationship with Aaron Rodgers, he gets pissed off. And so, what like he's talking about his relationship with Aaron Rodgers is being made up.
And you're telling me it doesn't matter if they have any relationship at all.
I don't think it matters at all. Because what is he doing X's and O's with Aaron Rodgers?
What is he doing X's and O's with Aaron Rodgers?
Honestly, probably nothing.
So Robert Saleh is the CEO slash defensive coordinator of the New York Jets.
Yes.
So
is what he was hired to be.
Okay, so I want you to help me out then, all right? Because I'm just a crazy fan that sits on my fat ass on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
When there are penalties specifically to the offense and specifically pre-snap penalties, who should I, Evan Roberts, Jet fan, be mad at?
Whoever had the pre-snap penalty.
So just the individual. And then who do I blame for that? I can't blame any coaches for this. It's just literally on John Simpson. Hey, John.
I remember we used to have... So Sean Payton used to be one... He was one of the early implementers of this. This is back in 2000 it was. And we'd have these dummy counts. It's all dummy counts.
Mm-hmm.
So you get up, you call it, you do your cadence like, you, hey, red 23, said, ah! Right? You just do a dummy count.
Here we go!
And it means nothing.
Right.
And you just, because it's dummy count on, you know, second or third dummy count. And I remember Sean Payton used to get so pissed off at us and training camp because we couldn't, like, we weren't used to it. It was brand new then. And so guys were jumping off sides. They were like, wait, which dummy count is this on? And what are we going on? And it was like Monday for one and Tuesday for two. And so we get up to the line of scrimmage. He's like, dummy count on, you know, on Tuesday. And so you go through the dummy count. And then you got to, right, wait, is it on one or is it on two? Right? It's Tuesday, so it's on two. So it's like it's a lot to think about.
It's complicated,
it
man.
It is, but until you start repping it.
Yeah.
And then you rep it, and then it becomes second nature. You don't even have to really, you hear it, and it absorbs, and you execute.
So it's just repetition.
And Sean used to get pissed. He'd be like, there are 100 women in Radio City that lift their legs at the same time, and you bleep bleeps can't stay on side. It was awesome.
I don't know where that was going.
The Rockettes is what he's referencing.
Right, that's what he's referencing, but he didn't say the Rockettes. But you know what I mean.
Yes, I got
so, it. So, like, guys have these issues because they're just not used to it.
So it is on the individual.
It's ultimately on the individual because it's a tool that Aaron Rodgers uses in how he plays.
Mm.
Right? Some teams don't do it that way.
Right.
Some offenses, Shanahan-based schemes, and you see them all around the league, they're scheming openness. Like, they're scheming guys into space. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to do that all the time. Sometimes they'll just leave the play call on, but a lot of times he's changing the play at the line of scrimmage.
Mm.
And the reason they do those dummy counts is so that he can get the defense to declare what they're doing.
Right.
Oh, they come up, they step up. Oh, they're bringing pressure. Hey, Garrett. You know, change this thing, blah, 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 opposite or Ringo or whatever that, whatever the heck the audible is. Run the play on Tuesday, snap the ball, get the ball out.
Yeah.
So it's complicated. Like, this is why football is not a dumb man's game.
No, it's not. I'm already confused.
Right? And so it takes a high football IQ, not necessarily a high intelligence. It takes a high football IQ to execute it without mistake. Right, that last week the Jets didn't have a high football IQ, team IQ, but that's not how they've been all season long.
No, and it's
so
got to change.
It's been fine,
but it's got to change, especially when you take a step up in competition like they're going to have.
But as Aaron said, it's the outlier. It was one game, and it was probably because the rain was crappy, and it's miserable to play in the rain.
Mm.
Like you can't think. Like your body is, you're miserable. Like you get distracted by the conditions that you're in. Think about walking to the bus station in the rain.
I get it. It's tough, but they may have to win a playoff game in the rain.
Okay, whatever. But
well, not whatever. I mean, they got to get better at it.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
But just because they had an outlier bad game doesn't mean that every game in the rain is going
to
be bad.
No. You know what? And I said this to you yesterday. It's now Wednesday, 3:47, kind of middle of the week, like the real official middle of the week. I hate myself for saying this. I feel really good about Sunday. Like all this crap.
You gotta get on a plane tomorrow and fly to London.
I know that part's depressing.
Now we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Baldy, it is postseason with Major League Baseball. You caught up in the fever, or you just still locked in on filming, on watching all that film?
Oh, I love baseball. I love October baseball. Are you kidding me? What the Mets did yesterday, the Yankees getting ready. Like, I'm going to be tuned in, but, you know, in between breaking down every game here this week here. So, but I've I'm dialed in. What Lindor did yesterday was simply amazing. Great player, so I'm happy for the Mets right now.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're a Mets fan. You're a Long Island kid. Are you a Mets? Were you a Mets fan growing up?
Yeah, you know, you got to make that choice early in life.
Yeah.
You know? Like Mets or Yankees, you know. You know, Shea Stadium was, it felt like it was in my backyard. I mean, I was 86 Mets. I had my rally cap on now.
Nice.
You know, like I was all about it.
All right, man. Well, listen, let's jump into the football stuff. And, you know, this seems to be an early pivot point here for Aaron Rodgers and this Jets offense. First of all, what do you make of the whole cadence issue with Rodgers and Robert Saleh?
Well, all of them, all of those false starts were on third downs. Okay? So, you know, you're down on the one-yard line. You're fourth. You know, it's fourth and one. You're going for it. And your left guard jumps. You know, Breece Hall, like, why is the running back? Why is the running back jumping on a hard count? Like, okay, every once in a while, Tyron Smith, all right, your left tackle, you know, you might flinch. But your running back can't do it, and you certainly can't do it on the one when it's your only chance to really score a touchdown all day. Like, I don't know. Like, something's not, like, you know, the quarterback always reminds him, hard count here. And we used to say, like, you know, you got to hold your water, right? That was the football phrase. Hold your water, hold your water. Like, how in the world are you jumping down there? You're trying to get them to jump. Five times, it's just flawed. It's just a flawed process right now.
Well, didn't you think it was pretty telling? Because in the postgame press conference, you know, he was asked about maybe dialing down the cadence. He said, well, you can also hold guys accountable. I mean, that's a pretty direct shot at the coach.
It is. It totally is. A lot of things have to be looked at the coach here. Like, and that for sure is one of them. Like, you work on this stuff. You talk about it. You practice it. You have to get it enforced from the top down. This is a part of our offense. We're going to get these guys to jump. We're going to get 39. It's going to be 3rd and 4. We're going to get them to jump. It's Aaron Rodgers. That's what he does. Like, I don't know. I think it's a direct shot because the last thing Aaron Rodgers wants to do is take away from some of his strengths. He's already struggling enough in the passing game with guys not being where they're supposed to be. Like, at least in a game where, you know, a field goal decides it, you know, those five-yard penalties, and there was five of them, false starts, five. I don't know if I've seen anything like that this year. Like, I think that's a direct shot to the coach.
Can this team, Boldy, win in spite of their head coach?
Well, everything starts there, you know. I don't know if they have enough leadership, you know, enough talent to do it. Your coach has to put you in positions, has to make some strong decisions. He's not calling plays. Jeff Ulbrich is, you know, like Nathaniel Hackett is. Like, he's got to be, I don't know, like sometimes I just want to see a coach when a guy jumps off sides on the 1 yard line. I wouldn't mind seeing Rex Ryan jump in a guy's face. Like, this can never, like, I just think you have to, like, get in guys' faces. You have to let them know on the sideline, whether it's a Bill Parcells glare, a Rex Ryan, like, bump in the chest. Like, you can't let this stuff just slide right now.
Yeah. Well, Boldy, here's the biggest issue. It's on Brian Boldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, BT and Sound on the Fan. The biggest issue is that if Saleh starts to do that, it's not really authentic to who he's been so far. Once you establish who you are, how do you change who you are?
Well, that's a fair point, and I don't disagree with that. You know, he doesn't look like he's, you know, real hands-on. Maybe things get said, you know, in the locker room and in practice and things like that. But game day is when it's all about, I know you got to control some emotions and things like that, but to lose that game like that on Sunday, like, you can't just sit and watch that, to me. Like, there has to be some level of reaction from your coach that things have to get fixed in real time. And they're not. And it's disturbing, Kenny, Jet fan. Like, forget about what I say or what you say. I mean, Jet fans are looking at the same thing, going, why is this stuff still going on here, you know, in week four of this league right now?
And then, how's it going to get fixed? Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. I mean, I know we're only 4 weeks in, Boldy, but the Jets' schedule does not get any easier moving forward here. Is this team maybe not what many expected them to be? What are you looking at this team's ceiling right now?
Well, I mean, we just turned the page to October. I mean, September's the new August. If they get the issues in the passing game fixed, that would help. But they're not, you know, to see Breece Hall struggle like he struggled. That's not supposed to happen. He's not. I mean, you brought in three new offensive linemen. You drafted one in the first round. I know Denver's got a good defense, but no running back should go 10 carries and gain 4 yards. And he doesn't look like he has any idea where the hole is, if there is a hole. Like, he's tripping on his feet in the, behind the line of scrimmage. He looks terrible. This is supposed to be the strength of your team. Braylon Allen looks like a better answer. So, to answer your question, there's time. This time they play a very, very sound Minnesota team that's very well coached on both sides of the ball. They, you know, this is, you know, I'm sure Sam Darnold's fired up about all this, you know. But, you know, he'll block all that out. But this, you can go to London this week, and if they leave Thursday night, they get there Friday morning, if somehow they get C.J. Mosley back and they run the ball against this Minnesota team, which is very good defensively, and they win a game, you know, it's a week-to-week league. You can get right back to where you think you should be with a win against a very sound football team right now.
Yeah, I did want to ask you one thing about Sam before we get to the Giants in Seattle as well. It's over to Baldy here, BT and Sal. So have you seen Sam Darnold just clean a bunch of stuff up, or is he thriving because of the concepts? Why is he playing?
Coaching by Kevin O'Connell. But I think he got a taste of it in San Francisco last year, watching Brock Purdy play and watching Kyle Shanahan, that organization, game plan week to week to week, and the talent they had. He comes to Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, comes from the same system. He's got elite. He's got a very good offensive line, an elite running back, the best receiver in football, and they game plan like crazy. And the defense has been outstanding. So, I mean, Sam is sort of you know, a product of everything around him, but I don't want to take anything away from Sam. He's making one good throw, one good read, one good decision after another. And he's played four excellent games in a row right now.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking about Brian Baldinger, as we do every Tuesday at 12:40. Giants lost a tough one Thursday night against the Cowboys. You want to rehash that before we move ahead here, Baldy, to the Seahawks game with the Giants. What'd you think of the Giants? They coming up short kicking field goals all night long Thursday against Dallas.
Well, look, I mean, they took four deep shots in the game. They came up 0-for-4. We know which ones they were. Even the opening series of the game, Malik Nabers has double-moved a corner, Andrew Booth, who, look, he's a practice squad player. Like, it's a home run. The safety is on the other side of the field, and Daniel, like, he underthrows him. He's got to stop to turn around and catch it. And it's 31-yard gain. You'll take it. But that should be a touchdown. We saw Jamison Williams go 70 last night. You hit a guy like that in stride, he's going to score. You know, and then you get Slayton, you know, down the field off, you know, the defense is offsides. It's a free play. And you underthrow the ball. Like one of those four deep shots, if you connect on any of the four, the Giants probably win that game. Now, he completed a lot of, you know, high percentage of throws. You know, he got the ball out of his hands. The offensive line pass protected very well against Micah Parsons. That wasn't an issue, and it has been in the past. But you got it. You got to hit those deep shots in this business right now. Those are chances to, you know, to make it a different game. And I thought, that's on DJ right there. He's got to hit one of those four that he missed.
Yeah. It's really hard to get a sense of who the Giants are, because I think all their opponents are a little off from what we thought they would be. Minnesota's better than we thought that they would be. So the Commanders. You know, Browns are worse. Dallas a little worse. Like, you know, four games on film, can the Giants string something together and, you know, rip off some wins and hang around? Or is this just kind of another season going nowhere? Early read, but what's your early read on that?
Well, I think this is going to be a big test in Seattle. They're coming off a short week where they didn't play well defensively at all. Jared Goff went 18 for 18 in that game. They couldn't stop them. They gave up six touchdowns. And that they hadn't seen anything like that. Now, they're not a complete team by any stretch, but they can flat out score. And you're going to have your hands full defensively against Geno Smith and those two backs and the receivers. So that's going to be a challenge for the secondary. Because DK can beat anybody in this league. And Jackson Smith and Jigba and Tyler Lockett, they're good. But defensively, you know, they've got some question marks now. I mean, you got to run the ball against them. You got to shorten the game. You can't turn the ball over against them. You got to handle the atmosphere. A lot of the stadium in the league.
Let's try to fix that here, guys. A little issue with the connection there.
Yeah, you can let Baldy if we were almost done anyway. It's a bad line there. I don't know what the heck was going on with that. Maybe Hoff trying to clean that up. The only other thing I was going to ask him is what, and I'd be curious to get his take if he is on the line. If not, we'll just get him next week. What he thinks is the number one thing that is holding the Giants back from being a team that can legitimately compete with, let's say, Seattle this week? Is it the play of the quarterback, or is it the lack of talent on the roster? We've discussed that many different times, but with Boldy obviously being the expert that he is, you know, we'll get an answer for that as we go on here. But either way, it's going to be, this is, I mean, you know, how many must-win games can we have for the Giants? They need to respond. They got to, if they want to have any kind of season, BT, you got to be able to win this game against Seattle. I just don't think they have the firepower to do it.
It's a tough ask, you know, but his point, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I always get the impression if you were to ask him the question that you just posed to me, I think it's probably, you know, if Jones can connect on a couple of downfield throws, it changes everything
for
him.
But that's kind of the point. It is on the quarterback. Yep. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. That was Odyssey NFL Insider. Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. We'll take a quick break, come back, more of your calls on the Mets and the celebration yesterday, and of course, looking ahead tonight, playoffs, wild card series, game one in Milwaukee.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.